listeners. It's me, Marnetta Larimer, here at Impacting the Classroom. As always, we like to kick off our conversation by asking, what's impacting the classroom? Today, Jenny Fleming and Lynn Cook are with us to share their class implementation in Nebraska schools. Ladies, would you like to introduce yourself? Maybe Lynn, you could go first.
Hello, my name is Lynn Cook, and I am the coach specialist for Nebraska Step Up to Quality. What that means is I'm responsible for the recruiting, the training, development, and assignment of the Step Up to Quality coaches who then implement best practices at programs throughout the state.
Wonderful. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you.
Jenny?
Sure. Thanks for letting us be on this platform. I appreciate it. My name is Jenny Fleming. I am a program quality specialist at the Nebraska Department of Education. My primary focus is with the Quality Rating Improvement System, QRIS, team, Step Up to Quality. So Lynn and I are our colleagues on the same team together. But my primary role with Step Up to Quality revolves all around the class tool. And so I do a lot of coordination of the trainings. I work with our amazing group of observers who are class reliable and conduct those observations for our team. And then I also get to have communication with programs, teachers, providers in across the state who are participating in Step Up to Quality when it comes time for their observations. So I like to say I'm kind of a behind the scenes kind of gal, coordinating a lot of things, which is ironic that I'm here today, but happy to be here and excited to share what we do in Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm excited you guys are here as well. And yep, there's no behind the scenes here, just straight out front. So let's kick this off with talking about your class implementation team, right? How would you define it? And how did this team get formed? I did hear Lynn talk about, you know, her selecting and assigning coaches, but tell us a little bit more about this team and how they got together.
Sure. I can kick off and Lynn jump in whenever you feel need to. So our QRIS has been in operation really since 2014, but of course there were years preceding that for planning and such. And so really, you know, class came about as the Head Starts were using them. And so there was a team that actually precedes Lynn and I who, you know, did all the training and learning about the class tool. And so they brought the class tool to the QRIS planning team basically and said this would be a great tool to be able to use in our assessment piece. And so, you know, fast forward 2014, where they're kicking off. And so, you know, we really felt it was important to have a good, strong foundation in terms of the assessors, or we call them observers in the state of Nebraska. And so, you know, we have our statewide team of, you know, who's, you know, kind of in the planning of it and the rollout of the QRIS. But then we have our observer team that works very closely to conduct those observations. And then, of course, Lynn's team of coaches. And then, of course, the programs. You know, we can't forget about our providers, our directors, our teachers who have to implement that as well. So together we work to continue to improve quality.
Thank you. Lynn, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that was beautifully said, Jenny. I mean, honestly, it takes a village. It really does. I mean, it takes so many different levels of support to, you know, again, hitting those high quality indicators and best practices. And so it takes everybody's efforts and support and buy-in, huge. And so, yeah, I think it's working very well.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, talking about our observing team, you know, we have built the system where it's very strong. So we have an anchor, a class anchor who, I mean, they all know their stuff. They know their class in and out. But that anchor is there to ensure that our team is using the tools to fidelity. So, you know, in addition to observers needing to certify, you know, through Teachstone, we have that level then of live reliability. So our observers go out with our anchor and ensure that, you know, they're scoring and using the tool to fidelity. And the reason for that is so that anyone across the state of Nebraska that has a class observation knows that no matter who within the state is doing their observation, they're going to be scored or coded the same. You know, it's done to fidelity. And so that's just an important piece of the tool that we've brought to our team.
I love that you expanded on that, because it was actually going to be one of my follow-up questions. I had a follow-up question for Lynn as well. You were talking about your observers being part of this strong foundation. And my question was, how are you supporting them? And you gave some beautiful examples of how you are supporting them in this process to deliver the tool with fidelity in a way that helps support the buy-in for your educators, right? Because, you know, if there's any differences, challenges, right, with that observation cycle or that feedback cycle, it really is a barrier to moving forward and moving that needle in the direction in which we want it to go. So I love that you added that extra information to that. Now, Lynn, you were talking about buy-in, right? Which made me think of something else. So what have been some of your methods, right? Your effective methods to create that investment, right? Into the class system and those interactions with stakeholders.
Right. That's an excellent question. I will say, for buy-in, in my role as that coach specialist, I get to talk to programs who are inquiring about coach services. So I'm backtracking a little, and then I'll dive into the class piece. So what I hear and what I like to ask during this coach interest questionnaire, I like to learn about the program. What is it? What's their goal? Why are they even participating? What is it they want to achieve? Really, what is their why? Because I want to know, is this just the director, I'm thinking of a center base. If it's a director, do the staff have, are they aware? Are they on board? Mm-hmm. It's a family child care provider. Again, it's like knowing, okay, why are we doing this? What is it you want to achieve? And then those coaches, once they have those answers, can work with that and move forward with it. You know, and so much of what I hear from providers is they want to go through these assessments, the class assessment, because they want to show their level of quality. They want to tell people, this is what I offer to you and your family every day. And so it's really giving them that recognition that they are doing the best they possibly can for themselves and the children that they serve.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Jenny, from your end, talk to me about buy-in and what that looks like, what effective strategies you've used to help to build that investment.
You know, I think it comes down to when it comes time for an observation. As we know, you know, we've been in the classroom, we know that it can be very intimidating to have someone kind of watching your every move and all your interactions and taking in all those conversations and such. And it's overwhelming. I mean, I remember being in the classroom and having that experience. And so I want to really, when I'm reaching out to those educators to say, okay, now's, you know, your time, we're going to do that observation, I really want to ease those fears as best as I can. And so Lynn and her team, of course, have to kind of do that preliminary work of helping them, you know, find the buy-in of it. But by the time they come to me and they're ready for those observations, it's more so easing their nerves. And so, you know, I just share with them that this is their opportunity to really showcase their skills, showcase those relationships that they have with their children, the students in their classrooms, you know, and just, you know, highlight their strengths. And so a lot of times, you know, when you can kind of put it in that perspective, they can kind of, you can tell, they kind of just breathe that, okay, I can do this. It's not a test. It's not a gotcha. It's not, it's a snapshot of their morning. And it's a snapshot of, you know, the interactions that they have with the children. And it's all for program improvement and growth, because we all can grow no matter what we're doing and what, you know, what, where we're at, we can all grow in some aspect, but it's also showcasing their strengths. So I hope, you know, in those conversations that it does continue with that buy-in and continue easing their nerves.
Yeah, conversations like that are important, right? Especially with the implementation of class, especially when people don't feel like they were part of those decisions, right? And they feel like it's something that's happening to them, right? Yeah, so having those conversations with educators, hey, this is just your regular day. You do this all day long. Just do what you do. And we're just going to document those things, right? So there's nothing extra for them to do. These are things that they're already doing, right? It's not another thing to add to their day. Just continue to build those relationships with children that we know drive outcomes. And we're just going to document that, right? So just do you. Be your, you know, your wonderful, beautiful, best self that you do every day. And but somebody's just going to document that. So I love, you know, that kind of conversation to just really ease those nerves and just remind them that they do this like every day. This is nothing new for them.
I would say, Marnetta, just this week, I was speaking with a provider who is interested in coach services and going for an observation by the end of the year. And so I asked what concerns she had. She did talk about, you know, oh, I heard the observations kind of scary. And I said, well, think about it like this. I said, you know what an amazing teacher you are for your children. And she goes, yes, I do. I believe that. And I said, that's perfect. I said, think of it as you teaching that observer how to be an amazing teacher. You're modeling for that observer what you do so well. And it was changing that perspective for her. And she said, I never thought about it that way. Before, I felt like they're scrutinizing me, everything I say, everything I do with this child. And I said, no, I said, you're the teacher. You just show how you work, how you communicate with the children, all of that, and just do your magic. And so she felt so much better after thinking about it in just a different light.
I love that shift in perspective, right? Because that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a key takeaway from this episode, I can guarantee, right? I can just imagine, you know, how much more empowered I would feel going into an observation, you know, with that kind of mind shift. Jenny, what were you going to add?
You know, Lynn summed it up, actually. I couldn't add any more to that, actually.
I know, because everybody was like, oh, we all had so much to say, right? Wonderful. Okay, so great examples of how to create that buy-in and really align this partnership on this class journey. So let's talk, you know, we talked about observations. Let's talk about data. Who's responsible for planning how you collect the class data from those observations?
We have an amazing system in place in terms of data collection. So of course, you know, we've talked about the observers and they're going out and you know, coding and, you know, collecting the data that way. But then we also have a system that the observers use to import or enter the data into. And so, and actually we're very fortunate on our team that we have an early childhood data person who it works very closely with, it's what we call NECPRS, the Nebraska Early Childhood Professional Record System. And so, you know, she's able to, you know, pull data, you know, as we need it, you know. So if we are looking as a statewide, you know, what are the, you know, domain scores, overall domain scores, or, you know, what do public preschools, you know, what are their averages or whatever, she can drill in and get all of that information for us. So it really helps us drive progress. Right. So when you know better, you do better. Mm-hmm. And so when you know, like, okay, we are really needing, we're really seeing, you know, where we need more training on quality of feedback, you know, as an example, then, you know, we can really think about, okay, how can we help those in the state of Nebraska, right? So that really drives what trainings can be developed in the future. And even regionally, you know, as programs receive their results of their observations, you know, they can say to their regional person, I'd really like to cover more about relationships, because that is something we, you know, may have not been able to demonstrate during our observation. So how can we do that? What kind of trainings do you have locally that we can really, you know, tag in on and have offered to our staff? So, you know, it's just a great way. Data is important. It drives what you do. Without data, you can't, you know, you don't proceed forward. You don't make progress. And so that is on the statewide level of looking at data. But then, of course, you know, Lynn, I'll let you kind of take over, like, how do programs use that data?
Mm-hmm. No, yes. As far as data goes with coaching, we have a self-assessment like a class self-assessment that the program themselves can do before the coach even gets there. And I really encourage them to do that because, you know, again, if it's a family child care home, you know, assess yourself. And it's a kind of a basic overview to start planting the seed about what we're going to be talking about, what the coach is going to be looking at with them. Then if it's a center base, I love it when the director goes and does it in each classroom along with their lead and support staff. And then they come together and have a conversation. And then when that coach gets there, they can have a really good conversation about what did you see? What did you identify? And again, that helps with that buy-in that we just spoke about. And so that data is amazing. Once a program does go through rating with the class observation, it's so informative for that provider as well as the coach to mm-hmm. sit down and debrief. Talk about, oh my goodness, here's your strengths. Look at what you knocked out of the park. Okay, now where are some areas for improvement and growth? And what new goals can we develop off of this? So that's where the data comes into play as far as the coach team.
Wonderful. Those are, both of you gave some really great examples on how that data can inform, you know, professional development, right?
Yes.
Whether on the observation side or on the coaching side. Can you give me and the listeners a specific example of any decisions that were influenced by class data, right? Like, how did the data inform, like, maybe a specific program or like implementation decision? Like, do you have any specific examples of those?
I can think of an indirect kind of example, one that came up over the last couple of years. So Step Up to Quality had been going through a revision. And so we first go around, you know, those that were participating and going for their rating had choices. They still do have choices, you know, but for their first go around, they had two different tools that they could do both with. And so second time around, we changed it to choosing, you know, so they had a choice of different tools that they could use, but they would choose if they chose to go that far into their rating. The hiccup was class wasn't readily available for family child care, but we were hearing for family child care providers saying, why can't we use this? And so, you know, we did a little bit of pilot project during COVID where, you know, we said, why can't we? Let's try this out. And so we had a couple of our wonderful teammates on the observer pool or observer team go out and do some observations in family childcare homes using the toddler class tool and then one using, you know, the toddler and one using the pre-K. And they used the data to inform us that it would be okay to, and the best in our state for what we need to use the toddler class for family child care. And so with that information, we were able to offer that to our family child care providers in our, you know, latest revision of our QRAS. And let me tell you, they are rocking it. Those family childcare providers are just, you know, rocking it with their class observations. Those interactions are amazing. And, you know, we're seeing such great success. And so, you know, so that's why I say it's kind of an indirect way of an example, but, you know, they take so much pride in what they do. And so this is their way of showing, you know, I can do this. And,
right.
And we talk about professionalizing the field and, mm-hmm. and, you know, having everyone be seen as a professional and an educator and their importance that they play in a child's life. And they're showing it. I mean, in family childcare, center-based programs as well, you know, we're seeing it. So we're super excited for that.
I love that example. Family childcare home owner here. But yeah, I love that push to, you know, support legitimizing the work that they're doing in that space, which, you know, is so hard still across the country, surprisingly, for family childcare homes. How many classrooms do you guys have in your program?
Oh, that's a challenge because we are statewide.
Well, we have programs, you know, we can give you numbers of programs, because what are we at right now, Miss Jenny? Are we like at right at 753, something like that?
Wow.
Participating programs. So that's centers, that's family child care, that's Head Starts. Those are early childhood, public school, preschools. Wonderful. So classrooms, holy moly.
Yeah. I want to give the listeners an idea of, you know, the size of this program so that as they're listening to your thoughts and things, they can like visualize, right? When they're thinking about their own implementation. So, yeah, that's a lot.
And it's voluntary. It's their participation in Step Up to Quality is largely voluntary, and so is their path. So, you know, we have programs that enter in at a step one and aren't quite there yet. You know, they're not quite ready to, you know, proceed along the path. And that's their journey and that's their choice. And so we're here to support when they're ready, you know, for to continue on. And so we have, yeah, we have varied, you know, levels of participation in Step Up to Quality, but it is, it's on their timeline and it's on their journey. And we're here, like I said, to support them and partner with them along the way. So we continue to grow. You know, I think it's Nebraska is big. We're very spread out. And so I think as more people become comfortable with the idea of becoming, you know, a partner with us or in participating in Step Up to Quality, the more we grow, you know. And so we're excited. We're excited to see the growth.
And I'd say it's also those grassroots effects. Like a provider in an area will go for Step Up to Quality. And of course, word of mouth, they're going to share out if it's been a good experience or not. Mm-hmm. And we see that once one person has done it, the floodgates open and people are like, well, I want this recognition. I want to see how I do in this. You know, they're excited and they kind of encourage each other then, and they have their little community. And so it's always opening the floodgates as people move forward.
That's great. We talked earlier about, you know, observations that are going to happen and the conversations that you have, you know, people who are nervous and they come to you and they're like, look, you know, having these, you know, feelings. What is your, do you have a standard process of communication with educators in the weeks leading to their class observations?
Yes. So they know it's coming. They submit what we call a rating request form saying, yes, please come out. Please come out and observe us. And so they have a 90-day window, so to speak. And so we kind of narrow it down. We want to ensure they're ready, but we also want to, you know, observe them in their normal, typical day, natural routine. So what I do is I will call them with a 2-week window when it's right beginning. So for example, it's Friday. If I have, you know, a program that is getting ready for their observation in the next 2 weeks, I'll call them today and just say, guess what? We're coming out in the next 2 weeks. You know, this is going to be your observer. This is what they're going to do. And so then that observer then will reach out to them a business day in advance to let them know that they're coming that next morning to do the observation. And so, you know, that's their time to really ask those questions, you know, just ensure, okay, we've got, you know, calm the nerves. So it's not going to be like a knock, knock, I'm at your doorstep. I'm here to observe. You know, they're going to get that advance notice of the observation to help kind of, you know, ease a little bit of that nerve going in. And, you know, like I said, I hope that conversation that I have with them kind of helps them kind of put it into perspective. Like, yeah, I've got this. I'm ready. I can do this. I'm going to show them what I got, you know, and, you know, just be myself. And that's what I say, you know, keep it, as we know, anytime you change up the environment, anytime you change up the routine, schedule, anything, you introduce new materials, you know, you change it up and it's not what is typical. So, you know, that's what I just say is keep it routine, keep it typical and let it be what it will be. Yeah. And so I hope that helps.
As soon as Jenny gets off the phone with that provider, the very next call is typically to the coach, not from Jenny, from the provider to the coach, because they're like, oh my goodness, my 2-week window is here. And the coaches just walk people off, like back from the ledge a little bit and reassure them. They're like, look at everything we've done. Look at all the evidence you have ready for the, you know, the raider, and you're ready for the observation. They just really also support what Jenny just did in bringing that level of calm to them and reassuring them they've prepared hard. They are ready for this. And now it's their time to shine.
Yeah, deflaming the amygdala, right? Like my new term. I want to clarify something. Jenny, when you were talking, you said that they fill out a rating request form for the observation. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So do they not get observed if they haven't filled out that form?
Yes, yes. So they, and this is specifically for our QRAS. We also have another program within our department in the early childhood office of, you know, where they work specifically with our public preschools. And so that is a little bit different, but specifically for QRAS, you know, we go in there saying we're ready, you know, so again, this is their path, their journey, their timeline. And so when they say, you know what, we have worked so hard, we have really, you know, assessed our own strengths, you know, we've trained, we've, you know, we've attended class trainings, we've done this, we've worked with our coach, we are ready. So come out, you know, and rate us and observe us. And so it's twofold. So the observers take care of the class observation, and then we have a separate piece of, for the actual rating of other indicators, quality indicators. So, but yes. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Perfect. We only go where we're invited, because we, you know, it's not supposed to be a surprise. It's not. It's really not. And so, you know, we want them to, you know, let us know when they're ready, and then we'll be there.
We talked a lot. Thank you for answering that, clarifying that for me. I appreciate that. I was like, oh, let me catch that. Make sure I understand. All right. Perfect. We talked a lot in between our questions about PD, right? And like some of the things that you're doing to help people on this path. What are some, like, how do you help educators adopt new practices? Like, what does that look like? What is offered to them? What does that look like?
Yes, that's a great question. We actually have a team of affiliate trainers. So they have gone through the training through TeachStone, and are able to deliver the introduction class training. So we offer that to our programs. And then there's also the class observation or reliability training, you know, to set them up in terms of if they choose to go through certification. We offer that as well. We find that a lot of times, like, you know, if their team is part of a bigger team, maybe it's, you know, a director that may attend that observation training, or, you know, a Head Start, you know, may send someone to do that so that they can in-house, you know, do some observing and such. But it's open to whomever, you know, chooses to be interested in attending that training. But, you know, along the way too, we have, you know, we've looked at, you know, trainings that are offered, you know, through TeachStone. And for example, you know, when we had ARPA funds come in, we really chose to use some of those specialized trainings through TeachStone. I'm trying to think of, you know, a couple that we've offered along the way. And so class instructional support, for example, you know, we knew that that was something that we needed to really focus on. And so we offered, you know, trainings using ARPA funds and such. But then, knowing, okay, we've used the data, right? We know that we're lower in this domain. So we're going to, you know, work on how can we support that. So that may be coaching, you know, bringing out, if a coach has gone through training, maybe bringing out resources that they've come up with. Of course, using TeachStone's amazing website, you've got tons of podcasts and blogs and all that good stuff. And so, you know, using those resources to help teachers see, like, okay, see, this is what this looks like in a classroom. And so, you know, just fine tuning trainings to meet the needs.
Wonderful. Lynn, what did you want to add?
I was just thinking about the coaches and that PD. The coaches themselves do attend class trainings that Department of Education offers in Nebraska. And so they too have that information. And when they are on site in programs, they are utilizing the website and videos, because that has been such an outcry for programs. They want to see it in action. They want to see it modeled. You know, many of us are visual learners, myself included. And so they do really appreciate seeing that. They also love, you know, the modeling of the coach as well, or just talking through it, what it's going to look like. But yes, the providers have been fantastic about taking part in the free trainings that NDE has provided for them over the past year.
Wonderful. When your coaches go out and like the coaches are doing, right, using the data and supporting people with their growth, what does that look like? What are those specific like steps or like, what is that?
Right, right. Let's say they have an observation or, you know, they maybe worked on their self-assessment. It's really sitting down and having an honest conversation about where do we want to go from here? This is what I see as strengths. Here's some areas that maybe could use a little bit of attention. Where do you want to go? It's always led by those providers because that's where that buy-in is. What matters to them in those moments? The coach's job is to share why it's important, always to share the why. But then once those providers discover what it is they where they want to go, that coach is all on board to, again, to model for them, find the resources like the TeachStone website, you know, just helping them really dive in to honing in on strengthening those areas that they've identified.
What's the cadence of those visits, right? Like, is there a cadence or does it just vary by provider?
We are very flexible and non-prescriptive with what they're available with. We really try meeting people with where they're at and what is it they're needing from us. And it depends on the time of year. You know, think about in November, December, all those holidays hit. So the coaching might kind of draw down a bit according, you know, but it's up to that program. They will set the tempo. Some people are ready and raring to go. They're like, I want to meet. Sometimes I have to put parameters on, you know, a maximum visits of this. So we can't be there every day. We're not volunteer workers or anything. And so, but it's, we really don't want to overburden them because they have so much going on in their worlds, right? Those programs, they're balancing a business, their own personal lives, the families they serve. Mm-hmm. We don't want to become a burden. We want to truly be a partner in this with them, a guide through the process, and a resource or to help them find resources. So it's very much strengths-based. We're always trying to build them up and not putting more undue pressure on them.
Maybe last question, I'm not gonna lie to you. What is the measure of effectiveness of those coaching? Like, how do you measure the effectiveness of those sessions?
Oh my goodness. I do annual coach services surveys to all providers who receive coaching throughout like over the past calendar year. And I get to see the growth and mindset change of all these folks. And they give this feedback for me, what can be better, you know, or would they change anything at all? The satisfaction survey percentages are 95% or higher annually. Providers find this to be one of the most beneficial resources for them in our program, because again, we are building them up. We are helping them prepare and create their program the way they want it to be. And so the other thing we use, it really is going off of the scores, off the observations. And so we're looking at that and seeing, okay, what can we change? What can we move forward with? I also like to look at how many people drop out of coach services. Honest to goodness, I'm trying to think of what the percent would be. It is minimal. Honestly, I could probably count on one hand how many people have bypassed on the coach services once they've started. Once they start, they are hooked. They're like, we want this support. So it's incredibly effective.
That's wonderful to hear. Jenny, you know, for the observers, what is in place for mitigating coder drift, like things like that? Like, what do you have in place for your observers to support them? And as far as, you know, professional development or things like that?
Great question. Your timing is perfect because we just worked through this. So we participate annually in double coding. So our anchor does double coding with a representative from Teachstone. And so she'll do that. And then this year, actually, we tried something a little bit different and we did some calibration videos. So the entire team of observers received the same video and then did the calibration activity. And then we met as a team to kind of just debrief about it to ensure, okay, nope, this is what the master coder is saying. You know, this is how this was coded and such. And so, you know, it just helps us, you know, talk through things to ensure we're still seeing things the same way. Of course, they have their annual certification that they need to keep up, but they also have to go out for reliability at least annually. So our rule of practice is after every 10th toddler class observation, they need to go out and do reliability again with the anchor. And that's, of course, to help with observer drift, you know, and we do that for each of the tools. And so it really does help. And it you know, they stay fresh. And of course, again, you know, those are live observations, because that's how we do our observations with our QRAS. Everything is live. And so, you know, the online piece for certification is wonderful. It's great. But we want to take that step further and actually be the exact same as what they have, what they're doing when they do complete an observation on their own. And our anchor is, you know, we joked in our meeting, it's kind of a phone a friend. You know, if they're out doing an observation and something just out of the not, you know, something not typical may come up or whatever, that observer is phoning a friend after that observation, like, did I do this right, you know, or just let me confirm that my plan here was correct. And so, you know, it's a very good team of observers who know they can just rely on each other for assistance. And of course, Teachstone, you know, we reach out to you all when you have questions and such. And so we try to keep up so that observer drift does not happen.
I love that you're using our services in really wonderful ways. And also the class community, if your educators aren't on there, great way to talk with other educators around the country and internationally about what's happening in the classroom and like tips and drips. Like, they really, really supportive community in that space. So,
absolutely, yes.
Believe it or not, we are almost at time. So I want to give you this opportunity to leave us with one thing that you would like to tell our listeners, like one bit of advice around implementation or, you know, whatever you think would be beneficial for them to know. So this is your high notes. You're leaving out on this high note. So Jenny, would you like to start?
I guess I would like to just say, don't let it overwhelm you. You know, take it bit by bit. If it means educating yourself, and by taking a training or even just simply listening to podcasts or, you know, reviewing the website, you know, do that. Don't look at the big, huge overall picture and say, it's too hard, I can't do it, because we want that growth mindset, right? And so we want to take it bit by bit by bit. And when you as a leader can say, this is doable, then you have that mindset that you can pass on to, you know, the staff, your team. So take it bit by bit and ask for help. We're all, everyone's a partner, you know, in this, in the world of early childhood.
Great message. Lynn?
You know, I'm a firm believer in the learning and growth at every age and stage of your life. And I just feel this tool, it's another piece for that learning and growth. And so I agree with Jenny. It's, you know, dive into it, give it a try. Some people take it very personally, like it's a personal attack on who they are and how they work with children. But honestly, if you're looking at just as a learning and growth tool for you in implementing best practices, it's going to make you the best teacher possible. It's going to help the growth and development and learning of the child you're working with. And that's our future. That's future success for them. And that's our future. We will be in their hands one day. And so we're just trying to embrace that learning, do what you can do, and just let your light shine.
This is so great. Thank you so much, Jenny and Lynn, for joining us. Listeners, hope you enjoyed today's conversation and you follow us along for other sessions that we will have. You can find today's episode and transcript on our website, teachstone.com/podcast. And don't forget, I care about what you think. Drop us a comment on Apple Podcasts and a like or whatever streaming service that you are using so that we can continue to make great content that you want. You can also send us an email at podcast@teachstone.com if you just want to say hi to your girl. So as always, behind great leading and teaching are powerful interactions. Let's build that culture together. Bye, everyone.
Thank you to today's team. Marnetta Larimer is our host. Our producers are Isabella Henriksen and me, Megan Cornwell. Editing help is from Castos. You can find Impacting the Classroom on our website at teachstone.com/podcasts, where you can also listen to our other show, Teaching with Class. Impacting the Classroom is a Teachstone production.